Welcome to the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. Here are your hosts, Blake the Smelly Bitch, Tyler the Stupid Hoe, and Rob I Always Lose Kilberger.
Welcome in and hello from where we are to where you are. It is November 29th, Wednesday. This is the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. We are glad you are listening. I'm your host, Blake, joined by Tyler and Rob, as always. Thank you, Past Chris, for that wonderful intro.
Yeah, very, very nice. I do always lose, at least in recent past. Hey, happy post-Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, we've missed a couple weeks. I mean, there was no episode last week because it was Thanksgiving. And The week prior to that was the holiday special by Rob and myself. So we haven't had a proper matchup podcast in now 3 weeks.
Last week was the holiday special. The week before that, we had a normal podcast. You fucking
idiot. You just missed the 1 week.
Feels like so much longer.
It feels like a long
time. It feels like not long enough.
Yes, we just missed the one. So we have no standings from last week. We just eliminate that week. Yeah.
The week prior, we almost missed it. That was a behind the doors thing because we were going to schedule some out to eatness and maybe not a Wednesday. That feels like that was a month ago.
Just 2 weeks ago.
My disability brain being not working for the last 2.5 months has really taken a toll on my
system. One day just goes right into another. I mean, so what do you know? You can't tell time anyway.
God, every time the sun comes up, it's time to drink again, and that's not helping.
No.
We've got a great show for you guys tonight. Going to go into our news and notes, as always, transactions within our league. A little bit of a news section. What did I say?
Segment. Let's go with that.
There we go. That's what I was looking for. Segment of just the league standings. We've got the playoffs on the horizon, people. Time to be looking forward to it. And a spoiler alert, our league is jumbled as fuck. And then we're going to go into our matchups tonight. So, Tyler, Rob, we didn't talk together last week. We didn't go over matchups or anything. I just would like each of your sentiments over the Thanksgiving holiday. Tyler, why don't you go first since we didn't hear from you last week on the podcast?
You want my what?
Sentiment.
Not sediment, not your sand layer. Sentiment.
We talking about fantasy football still, or what are we talking about?
Yeah, of course we're talking about fantasy
football. Here's the thing. You're calling me like the kid in class that wasn't paying attention. I was sitting over here doing other shit. And then you go, Tyler. And I went, oh, hang on. What do you want from me right now?
Yeah. No, all I wanted was, before we get into our news segment here, is how did you feel about Thanksgiving football this year?
Well, I'll tell you what. The second half of the Lions-Packers game, and then the afternoon game were peak watching through my eyelids. It was just perfect nap time football. Got all bundled up and didn't move for about 4 hours.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to say that the second half of the Lions game and the afternoon game were peak great football, because they were peak great football.
It was great in my mind when I was sleeping.
Yeah, it was good football.
That's enough out of you. Rob, how did you feel about the Thanksgiving Day, and we had Friday and Sunday football?
Yeah, I mean, I started to say it. I thought Thanksgiving was just great football to watch. Fridays was okay. It was the Jets. What do you want from them? And Sunday was just a weird day. Personally, I didn't have anybody playing in fantasy football in the morning game, so it was very strange just being a spectator. I didn't have anything really to root for on my bag team, and everything was afternoon or Sunday night or Monday night. So it was all strange, but I think Sunday was more subdued. I really enjoyed Thursday. Thursday was great. I loved it.
Yeah, I agree. Thursday was great football to watch. The Lions lost, which I wasn't a fan of, but it was,
watch those moon cycles, brah.
They weren't wrong. I mean, it was like going back to
undefeated.
I couldn't believe that.
The Cowboys game was great. We had NFL record breaking. I guess we could put this in the news, but we'll say it now. NFL record breaking pick sixes on a year. Deron Bland does it in week 12. Am I right on that?
Yeah. Yes, this was week 12, yes.
I saw people talking about this in like actual sports media. You can't even say that it was because that we have an extended season anymore. No, he had five pick sixes in 12 weeks of football. That's unequivocally a record-breaking season. That's incredible.
Well, that was the amount of games they used to play back in the 50s and 60s was 12 games. So, you know, the people back then always cried that, oh, the records are broken because you're playing longer. Man, that would, if he would have done that in a 12-game season, well, he did do it in a 12-game season, but I mean, if he was in the 50s or 60s and did it, he would be legendary, right?
Yeah. So, and my favorite part is there's still, what, four games of regular season NFL football?
13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Five, unless you have a bye.
Right. Which Dallas does not, so they get all five left.
Yeah. So who knows how many the guy could have.
Bro, if you're not talking about absolutely defensive player of the year, if not MVP, I don't know what else you could talk about.
I think he has a good – here's the thing. Pass rushers, just like quarterbacks usually get MVP, pass rushers get defensive player of the year usually. But come on, if he – what's he at? Five or was it six? Five?
Five.
If he gets seven – seven pick sixes before the end of the season, I don't think there's any way you can not say he's defensive MVP.
I mean, he broke the record that's been standing.
I know, but I'm just saying, combined, I think it's going to take a Herculean, whatever. It's going to take a Hercules-type effort to beat what the pass rushers are doing. What's his name in Cleveland?
Myles Garrett,
what he's done, which is like blocking field goals, taking over
he's
games.
He's now hurt, though.
I know he's now hurt, so he may tail off. I'm just saying it's hard to beat a pass rusher. It's hard for a corner to win that, especially one who came into this season without a name.
I don't know. I think that that's kind of a problem with when we talk about these award committees and things is, and you can
I agree.
We're not going to get into it, but you can look in FBS college football and the whole tournament situation and the nightmarish committee's been put under this year with this their situation. I think if a man comes out and breaks a record, a single season record in 12 weeks that's been around for the last 60 years
ever,
that's defensive player of the year. I don't know.
Before Thanksgiving, Deron Bland was 80-1 to win defensive player of the year on DraftKings. Mid-game, as soon as he got that pick six, he went down to 18-1.
Look, that's quite an improvement.
Yeah. So like Blake says, records count, and it's just a matter of, you know, of how does it stand up against the bodies of work that everyone else has. And
right. That's why I say if he gets two more, he's in, because that would, you can't ignore seven. I'm sorry. You break the record.
If you get one more over the next 5 weeks, it's a done deal. You're two over the last standing record.
Here's what it'll be. If he can get one more, they have a really tough after Seattle this week. They play the Eagles. This isn't in a row, but these are teams. They play Miami and they play Buffalo. If he gets a pick six against one of those three, what you would call top teams, then I think he's in that 1-5 conversation from 1-18 because it'll be like Deron Bland pick sixth Josh Allen, or he pick sixth Tua.
Let's not act like pick sixing Josh Allen is some.
I was like, well, that might be the weakest one.
or Tua. I mean, Tua has had bad games, and has more turnovers than Dak does this year. I mean,
currently Deron Bland fourth in odds, 11 down to 11-1. But this has been your Cowboys podcast by Blake and Rob.
Okay, yeah, let's move on.
No, it's a significant thing. We don't always get the podcast of when NFL records are broken in a single season kind of stat way. Obviously, they're broken several times this year with rookies and in the last couple of years with rookies, quarterbacks especially breaking things. But I feel like that those records are going to continue to be broken. But let's get into our news, people.
Knock, knock. Who's there? The news.
Oh, It's the short one this week. Tyler, usually point at me.
Always. That one always comes last. The music plays first. So it's That's either the long music one or it's this one that's You're always right. the
end. This, yeah, right. Knock Knock the News is always the end. Yes. All right.
All right. Well, let's get into the biggest news of the day. The Panthers fired their head coach, Frank Reich, after 12 games. I believe this is another record. The first coach ever to be fired mid-season, two seasons in a row.
Yeah, this this owner is about one season away from having a problem hiring people. We've seen it in another sport. The obviously close to my heart, the Red Sox have gone through I think three straight GMs fired 4 years in. You know, and of course GMs is all about roster building, so you have no chance to. And in baseball, right, you draft, and those guys aren't even there for however long, so those guys aren't getting a chance to do their job. And the Panthers owner is showing that he's not going to give his coaches a chance to do their job, and he's going to meddle in roster construction in the meantime. I don't know how they attract anybody of note to be this head coach, especially after they fired, who was the Deuce Staley? Right? No, not Deuce.
Yes.
Who was the running backs coach in Detroit last year, who then went to
Deuce Staley? I missed that news.
Yeah, they got rid of him too. The new interim went in and fired Deuce Staley and one other coach. I'm guessing it was guys that were outspoken for Reich or that were pissed that they didn't get their opportunity to be the interim.
Could be.
This is dysfunction top to bottom. I don't know how you attract a coach. I know there's only 30 jobs in the NFL. So if you're going to get a head coaching job, you take it. But I certainly think or 32, whatever, however many fucking teams there are. I certainly think that you're going to have a hard time attracting top talent and retaining it. I think anybody's going to look at this and go, why would I want to go there? You handpicked your quarterback, and look at how that turned out.
Well,
you've now went through four coaches in 5 years?
I think that's right.
Yeah, like...
I think that's right.
Why would anybody take that job?
Well, they wouldn't, because it's come out that this staff wanted Stroud.
Yeah. McCown, right before the draft, right? I don't know.
That was the other guy that got let go was McCown.
Yeah. Right before the draft, the odds just kept going up and down. And it was like, hey, it might be Levis. There are these things about Levis. There's always this low rumble about Stroud, but then Young was always kind of the favorite, but that was more so coming off the college season. And yeah, I think, you know, they wanted Stroud and they got told no, and they're like, well, here's what you get now.
And that's why I think that you're right, that nobody, what coach, unless you're talking maybe a college coach who's wanting to come in and is willing to cede some of that to the owner. But when the owner is telling you who you're going to draft, and the owner is, when you don't do well with those, as Parcells used to say, with those groceries that he should have shopped for. So the owner bought the groceries and told him to cook something, and it didn't turn out the way the owner wanted. So he got rid of the chef, even though he didn't let the chef do his thing. So, you know, whatever. I still think that Reich is a good coach. I think he got the raw end of the deal in Indy. I think he got the raw end of the deal here. He'll probably resurface because he's gotten two chances and gotten canned as an offensive coordinator again, unless there's, I heard there could be a record 10 openings this year. There's a couple spots where he could go depending on who goes. He would be a good fit in New England if they decided to part ways there. There's a couple other places.
I can tell you right now, if they decide to part ways, it's not going to be Reich.
Oh, okay.
Gerard Mayo is the successor.
You think so? There?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Washington, he's
been, former player.
He's been the successor in waiting. They might go try to get Vrabel. But yeah, no, Gerard Mayo is the post Belichick guy.
Well, Washington for Reich?
No, Bieniemy.
Yeah, I think Bieniemy is the guy. I think he's finally gonna get his shot there.
So here's the thing with Reich is before the season when they hired him, you know, he lives in Carolina. He said, you know, he was kind of thinking about hanging it up and blah, blah, blah. And then Carolina, you know, after the whole Indy thing, and then Carolina called and he's like, well, that's great. That's right in my backyard. That's fine. And he's like, this is likely going to be my last stop. Now, obviously, I don't think he thought it was going to be 12 games. You know, if it was 2 or 3 years, maybe it might have been his last stop. But I think there's a high chance that Reich just hangs it up.
Wow.
That would be...
And that just sucks because, I mean, everything I've been hearing is that owner, like you said, Tyler, is going to have a tough road to hire anybody else because after like 5 or 6 weeks, he was hosting weekly meetings and post-game meetings with Reich and critiquing the calls and critiquing the game that they just had. That's so toxic of an ownership. And like you said, especially with the quarterback that was handpicked, and I fear for Bryce Young's career because, no, I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I think he has a bright future. Everybody needs mentoring and, you know, help to come into this league. And now he's just going to be in coaching hell, just like Baker was for several years, just like several quarterbacks were in this league. And it just sucks. I mean, even Mac Jones has had 3 different offensive coordinators in 3 years. I mean, it's tough on a young guy to fucking be successful.
And one of them wasn't a real offensive coordinator. I mean, he was garbage. That was last year.
Yeah.
So
to wrap this up, I think the only coaches they're going to get is some coach coming out of college that, you know, wants to make the jump and, you know, anymore. I don't think the money's that different. So, you know, unless somebody wants to break into the NFL and try their hand, great. Or it's going to be like some, you know, was
a quarterback's Houston? Coach.
No,
was a quarterback coach. Couple
years back where they hired like a special teams coach that was like 67 years old. Like clearly it was clearly like, I know this is a long-term thing. I just want head coach on my resume before I retire. And you know, that sort of thing. I wouldn't be surprised to see that sort of.
Can I speak into a wild hypothesis into existence quick before we move on?
Sure.
Everybody remembers, I forget, isn't it Jason Campbell, the head coach for Iowa State?
Matt Campbell.
What if Matt Campbell's window to enter the NFL was 3 seasons ago after the like big Breece Hall season?
Yes.
What if they go, hey, Matt, we're going to offer you way too much money to come after we've seen what Brock Purdy can do in the NFL as the last pick in the NFL, come develop our young Bryce Young? I don't know. I'm not saying that's going to happen or I wanted that to happen, but that's just a wild out there hypothesis that is like something that the Carolina's owner could do.
I mean, that's what Tyler was saying, is it would have to be, you know, either somebody that's, you know, not really an NFL person that you would think of, you know, maybe a quarterback coach or special teams coach, or somebody from college who wants to make their mark. And that would be Matt Campbell. So,
and that would just be an example of representing what Tyler's concept he was saying. Let's move on. 100%. Let's move on to Aaron Rodgers, the next biggest news of the day. Any of those who watch the Pat McAfee Show and Aaron Rodgers Tuesdays, I am guilty party on that one. Basically, he said, I am good to return, still planning on returning this season, depending on the Jets' playoff potential, also primarily my health. But today, the Jets opened up Aaron Rodgers' 21-day practice window from IR.
Yeah, so it'll be exactly what he said. He's going to start. He was cleared to practice medically.
He did practice today. He was on the field, on the practice field throwing balls.
So he will do that. He will practice over the next 3 weeks and see what the Jets do. If they lose all 3 games and they're out of the playoffs, he's probably not doing anything. If they somehow win all 3 games and they've got a shot at the wild card, he probably will, at the end of that window, come back and try to play.
Just a heads up for all you degenerates out there. Aaron Rodgers still 18-1 to win comeback player of the year. Maybe throw a couple of bucks at it.
I mean, the Jets got to start winning though. And they haven't been.
I think all because they're having, I mean, obviously DeMar Hamlin has been the big favorite, but he hasn't done anything on the field this year.
That's true.
And so like, I don't really know who else you can give that award to.
I haven't looked at their schedule to see who the Jets have, you know, if they have winnable games.
I can pull it up really quick.
Okay.
But I did just want to point out that it's a rough count 12 weeks out from an Achilles injury that he's planning on coming back.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. He was, I mean, I don't remember what it was. They were doing a whole new process other than the old way of doing an Achilles, which, you know, you weren't even like, it took you 6 months before you were even like not on crutches the old way. Whatever they did, it's obviously got him walking around, and this shoe that he wears that keeps his foot at a higher angle than 50% has helped him. You know, this practice window, he's going to be wearing regular shoes that, you know, it'll depend. I mean, the worst he could do is like do it too soon and blow the thing out again.
So the Jets play Atlanta this week, then Houston, Miami, Washington, Cleveland, New England to close out the year.
All right, so of those, that's five, yes?
Yep. Well,
two of them, six. So I hear Washington's super winnable, the last one. Cleveland, who knows? It depends on how their injuries all shake out. Miami, no, they're not going to be Miami. What were the other ones, Blake?
Atlanta is this week.
I mean, maybe.
Houston?
No, Houston's going to beat them.
And New England.
And they'll beat New England. I mean, so there's chances in there, and it depends what other teams do. I don't know. So I give it a 15% chance that he's back this year.
His whole thing has been a week 16 full return. And so until week 16, 13 is Atlanta. That's this week. 14 is Houston. 15 is at Miami. And then 16 is home against Washington.
So they could go 2-2 at best. So,
yeah. I don't know what the Jets record is currently.
Probably 6-something. Oh, 4-7. So if they go 2-2, they'll be 6-8, and that'll probably won't do it.
Probably not.
Yeah.
They got to win a couple of these.
They'd have to win all four. Because if they won all four, they'd be 8-7 for his return. And then they would be battling those last two games to try to get in as the last wild card.
All right. Yeah, crazy recovery for Aaron Rodgers. It's been a lot of fun listening to him on I've said a couple weeks, the Matt McAfee show has been a lot of fun listening to him talk about stuff this year. He's had a lot more time to absorb information.
All right.
Dallas Goedert, there we go. Yeah. Missed practice today. Uncertain for this week with the broken forearm, but the last thing I heard was that he was shooting to be a full start against the Cowboys.
Yeah, which is next week, right?
I believe so.
Yes. So, he's not playing this week. He probably will play next, which is why they didn't put him on IR, because that would be four games. And this will be his third is this week. And so he'll be back for his fourth. So, yes. Which makes sense. It was a fracture, not a break. So it was, you know, a crack on the bone. So he should be fine. Fire him up next week.
Sticking with the Eagles. Now, as far as injuries go, this is probably going to be a very short segment because we're at the point in the season where there's tons of limited practices
on Wednesdays.
But I did want to bring up, because three Eagles additionally hit my feed here. Swift was limited today with an ankle injury. AJ Brown was limited with a thigh injury, and Devonta Smith was limited with the knee injury. So all four major playmakers for the four Phillies were either no practice or limited today with various injuries. AJ Brown especially popped up on the Monday injury report with that thigh injury.
He had it last week. So not surprising. Wednesday's your vet maintenance day, so I believe all of them will be fine and will get in a limited practice tomorrow and full on Friday, and they'll be good to go for Sunday.
Yeah, I think we're getting into the part of the season where the Wednesdays you're going to see guys just not practicing. There was a ton of DNPs today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, tons. And I just wanted to list those because literally the entire major Philly offensive front was – limited, but David Montgomery for the Lions also limited with a foot injury. Devon Achane missed last week, limited with a knee this week. That's something to keep an eye on. I don't know if he's going to make it his way into a starting lineup
should
again.
Should be back this week, but they'll probably be careful because of what happened 2 weeks ago. So, yeah,
They have higher aspirations than regular season wins.
Right.
Keenan Allen, an interesting zero practice today with a quad injury that popped up on Monday. You normally don't keep or don't take Keenan Allen practices for, you know, gospel for Sunday, but
No
practice is always a little bit head raising for me. We don't have much time on this section of the recording, but I wanted to bring up T. Higgins lastly. T. Higgins has been
struggling. I got two more I want to talk about, so go ahead.
Okay, T. Higgins has been struggling with a hamstring injury like he did last year. Where do you stand on T. Higgins the rest of the season? When he's healthy, very, very talented and star receiver for the Bengals, but they have Nate Browning starting the rest of the season. Joe Burrow's out. T. Higgins has struggled the end of last season and in the middle of this season. Where are we at with him?
You cannot play him. The only person you can play there is Jamar Chase, because Mixon. That's it. Yeah. That's the two you can play for that team. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Higgins, this is a lost year for him, both with Burrow being hurt and with him being hurt and everything like that. Free agent after this year, we'll see where he lands next year. Should be the wide receiver one for somebody.
Yeah. Two quick injuries to add, Blake. Chris Olave, concussion. If he clears this week, should be fine, but he's something to keep an eye on. And Jonathan Taylor, thumb surgery.
Oh, yes.
Out 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's it.
Not going on IR, but fire up your Zach Moss.
All right, guys, let's get into a gut check.
Nailed I did not it. Know if I was supposed to go or if you were going, so we just did that. That just happened.
That's how it works.
All right, Tyler, what are you drinking? I see you munching on sunflower seeds, and you were a little bit late addition.
I'm munching them down and having some high noons.
High noon. All right, Rob, what do you got?
I have a sparkling ice, classic lemonade, and vodka.
Amazing. I have a bit of a cocktail. It's vodka and orange mango sparkling ice. But also, like, a third of that shit is homemade mead because, you know, I've got gallons and gallons of it, and it's fantastically delicious.
That's an odd combo.
Yeah. All right, boys. After this, it's phenomenal. Wow. Let's get into our transactions.
High noon.
Let me say it's high noon in peace.
High noon.
This shit's unbelievable. I checked the accounts receivable. It's inconceivable to think that you would fuck with me on the brink of my transactions.
I think my favorite part. Oh. That's what I... Oh my, what is happening?
Two of them.
Apparently there's already the offer on this
one. Should have held up two fingers. What the hell?
Hello, this is Boris. I am ad person from Horst Vodka. Yes, Horst Vodka. It's all the little bits of when you return bottles, the Horst in the bottom of the vodka bottles, we pour it, we brew. We send to you. It's only $5 bottle. Why you not buy? Horst Vodka, it get you drunk, what you care? It has acceptable amount of spitting. Horst Vodka, buy at your favorite alley, right by the barbecue place. Remember Boris sent you. Yes, he did.
Tyler, you're a little cheeky bastard with your little points when it's my turn and stuff. Because why don't you just say in the chat here, hey, we're playing an ad here. Don't talk in between.
Fuck you.
Yeah, why you no point?
God. What a prick boy. Anyway, boys, we've got a free agency report. Kind of an interesting one this week. We have for $0 an ad by the Scary Terry, Samaje Perine dropping Miles Sanders. I kind of like this ad for the team that's got nothing to play for and everything to gain. Miles Sanders has been disappointing. I was really high on him this year. Juwan Johnson added to the Fly Eagles Fly, dropping Cade Otton. Jonathan Mingo added to the Backdoor Hot Snakes for $2. I dropped Quentin Johnston.
Can I ask a question in here about Quentin Johnston?
Fire away.
I know Quentin Johnston was a mid first round pick in super flex drafts, maybe a mid to high first round pick in non super flex drafts. Yeah. What would you take for him in Dynasty right now?
If I had him?
Yeah.
If I had him and somebody offered me a third or a high fourth, I probably would take it.
I was thinking late second.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of where I'm at.
I don't know.
I never would have.
Or like if they have the 301.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I think he's going to be garbage. I don't see anything.
I didn't like him. I did not like him coming into this year. And word was that like there was a time, like a week period, where the Cowboys were favored.
And I was like, please don't get this
guy. I was like, fuck no.
Yeah.
He is not good. So moving back into our transactions,
right. The
big two players here were DeMario Douglas and Pat Freiermuth. 5 claims on the former, 6 claims on the latter. Douglas goes for $15 to the Hawaiian Chacos, and Freiermuth goes to the Corn Wieners for $18.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that.
I'm sorry, Rob. There was no chance of you getting Freiermuth because I put $11 bid.
No. I didn't want to get him necessarily. I bet my $10. I figured people would go more. Terry, who has all kinds of money, should have bet more than the 18 that the Corn Wieners did, so he would have a tight end that was successful. Instead, the Corn Wieners, who I'm playing this week, while their normal tight end, Kincaid, is on a bye, I get to play now Freiermuth coming off his 100-million-yard performance.
Yeah, Terry should have played some more defense. Even though you're last place in the league, you can still
keep somebody from getting him. Yeah.
You can still stop the best teams in the league from making moves that benefit them by using a sizable fab budget.
A miss by Terry.
Yep. No trades this week. Next week is our deadline, is it not?
It's my birthday, the 6th. Yeah, when we were talking before and we were saying, oh, it's next week. We were wrong then. It's not this week. It is next. It's a week from today is the deadline.
We go a week longer than normal leagues. I would like to venture to change that next year, but we can talk about that in the offseason.
It's the default, so what do you want from me?
Just so everybody out there knows that listens to this
podcast. It's for sure not the default.
It's ESPN's default.
No, it defaults because you said it the first year and haven't changed it. So it defaults back to it every year.
I'm going to default to you.
Next week is the trade deadline. Make your trades.
Next week we'll make it after week 12. How's that?
Yeah, I think next year we should make it. I think
we should actually, vote on it rather than deciding on the podcast, but that's just me.
Well, I'm the commissioner, so I get to make all decisions. Boom.
I'm the co-commission. I restart the league.
And you already said yes. So, motion pass. Let's go.
Let's get into our standings update, folks.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's a question. Here we go. That's your standing bumper. Very official.
That's how short it is. I thought you
make that.
No, that's where we stand.
How do you think I'm gonna make a bumper while we're doing the podcast?
Also true.
I don't know. You've been muted for a while. You said, hey, well, I'm gonna do stuff while you guys talk about news. You were muted for a while. I don't know what you're doing over there. The first place team in points is of no surprise to anybody. It's the Hawaiian Chacos. Only a scant 40 points ahead of the Fly Eagles Fly.
Yeah.
And then third place is Cut My Tea Bags Nick, 25 points ahead of the Corn Wieners. This is a weird numbering system. Oh, did it reset? No, we're good. Sorry, the rankings are different than the points for, because I have it sorted by points for.
There you go.
But yeah, so there's your current points standing. The Hawaiian Shockers are the only team that's clinched a division at 11-1. That's no surprise.
And they clinched the number one seed overall.
And he's clinched the number one seed. Playoff clinches are the Fly Goes Fly and the Fantasy Reapers. Congrats, Tyler and Rob.
Thank you.
Both of you guys are 8-4. And then the rest is a jumble. The Boxers division, which is Teabags, Hogs, Snakes, Tubby, Kegerator, there's no clinching here. The division can still be taken by any of the top three teams, really.
I think we should rename this to the Skidbark division.
Wow.
No, because the last 2 years, your division was a nightmare place. And ours was the strong one. It would completely flip your narrative, Tyler, on its head.
Incorrect.
It's because I was bad the last 2 years, and now I'm back.
So, Tyler, I'm just going to let you, because you are able to, you're A, the soberest, B, the one who can say this the most succinctly, of how the rest of the playoffs sit after the Shakas, Reapers, and Eagles.
Oh, yeah. You remember when I said I wasn't going to do this? Cool. All right. So, here's the deal. Keg, if you win out, you can theoretically get in. More than likely, you're playing spoiler. If you beat Tubby this week, you probably take both of you out, and that's that. The rest of you guys outside of, so Nick, if he loses out, there's a world in which he misses out, but it's not likely. More than likely,
he's 99%. He's 99% making the playoffs.
Yeah, more than likely, even if he loses out, he's going to get in on points, be the sixth seed, something like that. Right. So Hogs, Snakes, Tubby, and Wieners. Hogs and Snakes play each other this week. So if Snakes beats Hog, Tubby beats Keg, and Wieners play Fly Eagles Fly, we're going to have a four-man tie at 6-7. And then next week is going to be chaos. And none of you are playing each other. So it all comes down to whether you win and points. Like, nobody, we were talking about this before the podcast. Most years we can go, okay, there's a matchup this week, and if this happens with that matchup, then next week's an elimination game between these two teams. And that's just not there this year. It's
no.
You got to beat the guys you're playing, and there's no one really that's sitting here, you know, with their playoff position in solely in their hands. So it's a tight race, and I don't envy those of you with tougher matchups.
Yeah. Personally, I need to beat the Hogs this week in our matchup, and then I play Terry next week. And Tyler, I hate to do it, but I'm rooting for you to beat the Hogs because that's their matchup.
And you need me to beat the Wieners.
I'm gonna bench starters so that no one gets hurt.
don't you need me to beat the Wieners too? That would be your perfect scenario, Blake, right?
Yeah, Wieners this week. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rob has Tubby next week, so Blake, you should really be nicer to us, considering we hold your playoff hopes.
I mean,
in our
I don't
hand.
Know who. I'm not sure who I should start this week.
All right, timeout. When have I been mean to you tonight?
Oh my god!
Remember when you called me a garbage person like 5 minutes ago?
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I said you were a sober person and better at this. And why don't you take it?
Wrong.
I don't remember
that. I don't know. Anyway, fact checkers, please tell me. Please text me personally. If I call Tyler a garbage person 5 minutes ago at this timestamp.
This segment of standings brought to you by
I'm going to go back through previous podcasts. I'm going to cut it out and splice it in.
All the times.
Of you calling me a garbage person.
Yeah, all right. You don't have to do that because Tyler, fuck you. You're a garbage person and I hate you. Go ahead and just cut that one.
There it was. Face.
Just highlight that one.
Oh god. All right. Just before we move on into our matchups, the current playoff bracket is number one seed Shakas, number two Teabags, number three Fly Goes Fly, number four the Reapers, number five the Hogs, number six the Wieners. That puts the Eagles Fly and the Wieners playing against each other and the Reapers playing the Hogs at if the playoffs were to start right now.
Right now. But they don't.
With that, we can get into our matchups, starting with the Teabags and Terry.
Yale Bulldogs.
Yale Bulldogs. Yale Bulldogs.
Wow.
Not so fast.
All right. Our first matchup, as I said, is a matchup spread currently. I found the game lines on ESPN. T-Bag's favored by minus 30 and a half. Real bad. 7-5 taking on the 11-1 Terry's.
Other way. 1-11.
What did I say?
11-1.
No, I read 1-11. Did I say 11-1?
You did.
Yeah, you
say
said 11-1.
Oh boy.
I was like, he wishes he was 11.
And guess what? If you didn't, I'm gonna take it and splice it back and put it back there.
All right, well, you know what? There's three ones there, and my brain's like, you got this, and I didn't got that. So
you didn't got that, you know.
Yeah, all we right. Don't have to spend much time on this matchup because
Zach.
Thanks, Nate.
Thanks,
T-Bags have CJ Stroud, Kyron Williams, Raheem Mostert, Nico Collins, Keenan Allen, Jake Ferguson, Derrick Henry, Terry McLaurin, and the Lions defense versus the Terry, Russell Wilson, James Conner, Royce Freeman, Chris Godwin, Cortland Sutton, Evan Engram, Deontay Johnson, Nakua, and Steelers. Tyler, break down the T-Bags team and their bench options, and Rob, why don't you do the Terry's options? Go ahead and research now.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to talk at a super high level because we don't need to talk about this matchup very long.
Right.
T-Bags has options. Cooper Kupp on the bench. I actually don't hate that this week. He hasn't been good, and now he has an ankle injury on top of that, so that's fine. Rashid Shaheed on the bench. You know, you'd love to have him in there against Detroit, but again, concussion, I think. Or no, was that a quad maybe? Anyway, he's injured. We talked about T. Higgins. There's not much on this bench. I think he has his best lineup in, and I think he wins handedly.
I really got to talk about this lineup. I mean, you know what I'm doing is I'm for sure finding a way to get Rashee Rice in this lineup. Yep. He had his breakout game last week. Green Bay is nothing to be afraid of. You know, the best, I guess I would take either Godwin or Sutton out. Probably since Sutton seems to be scoring touchdowns and Godwin hasn't done shit. I'd probably take Godwin out and put Rice in. So at least you're shooting for the moon with something. And that's really it. Otherwise you've got the best you can do in here.
Yeah. Really kind of a, just like we talked about a washed season for T. Higgins this year. It's a washed season for Terry that, and not even by his own fault.
Oh, no.
It was just super circumstance and injury really fucked him over. So yeah. I think the three of us are all taking Terry. I'm rolling a D20 this week.
No, no.
We're
the
all
three of us are not
Terry.
All taking Terry. You might take Terry on your own.
I'm so stupid in this matchup.
I don't even know what you're doing.
We're all taking T-Bags.
Yes, roll the dice.
Ah, gross. The dice rolled a 2, so that means they're taking Terry. That's what I. That's what my brain.
Nope.
Was.
That also means nope. They're taking T-Bags.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
I am so sick of today.
Yes, everybody takes. Yes, odd is right. The okay. Oh, that was that. Oh, that made me feel good.
Tyler, why don't you take us through how we do the rest?
Your ears are fucked. Get the fuck out.
Tyler, how's the spreadsheet on the ear?
How's the spreadsheet on the ear? It's doing great. It has a wife and kids at home.
It's oh,
Christmas cards later.
Oh, that's awesome. Did
yeah.
They have a good Thanksgiving?
Wonderful.
Oh, nice. Solid.
All kinds of data.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. Oh, yeah. I love data.
Is that basically just like ejaculating for a spreadsheet? So that means they just came all over the place.
Yeah, that's
so much data.
No,
everywhere.
they're just full of data.
Yeah, that's their food.
Yeah,
that's like their turkey.
Fuck's sake! I don't even want to do the rest of this podcast.
No, we get to. What's our next matchup?
Our next matchup is the Iowa Corn Wieners at 5-7, taking on the Flagels Fly at 8-4.
Hey, you got all that right.
Spread sets. The Eagles fly are favored by 9 points.
Ooh.
Corn Wieners have Tyler. Let's go through this one. They got Trevor Lawrence at quarterback home against Cincinnati, Rashad White and Brian Robinson Jr. at the running back spots, Brandon Ayuk and Tyreek Hill both on the road for the receivers. Hill's questionable, but that's just that veteran limited day. Pat Freiermuth, new acquisition at tight end at home against the Arizonas. Chris Olave and Noah Brown, both questionable. I actually think these are very true questionables, Tyler, in the flex spots with the Jets at home against Atlanta. So we really got to look at this bench here as you go through these analysis.
Well, let me tell you, there's nothing there. There's literally nothing there. You have Elijah Moore and Hunter Henry that you can put in. So you have to pick somebody off the waiver wire to put in, because I don't expect either one of these guys to play. But I was gonna say, you know, Rashad White has been great the last couple of months, really, or the last couple of weeks, really under the radar. But the last actually 6 weeks, 15, 17, 27, 19, 17, 18, has been more than serviceable for you. So has kind of become a cornerstone for this team, where, you know, a Tyreek can blow up and stuff like that and have huge games. You know, you have one guy that's just constant. That's been great. And then it looks like Trevor Lawrence is healthy again. So you got to hope that going into the, you know, if you make the playoffs, you got to hope that matchups against Baltimore, Tampa Bay, and Carolina, you could take advantage with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. I forgot to mention at the top of the matchups, there's, I think, six teams on bye this week, and they're all pretty high profile. The Giants, Minnesota, Baltimore, Buffalo. Aren't there two more? Or are there just four? Vegas, that's five. And the other one. Anyway, yeah, so the buys are really hurting this team. Rob, why don't you go through your matchup or your team? What do you got?
I mean, I've got Dak at home against Seattle. We all know what they've been doing at home. So I got McCaffrey against Philly. Charbonnet, because Ken Walker's going to be out again. A.J. Brown, Waddle, Juwan Johnson, who I picked up because there's problems there. And especially if Olave doesn't play, he's going to be pretty good. Right now I have Aaron Jones in. It's going to be whatever Green Bay running back actually plays. George Pickens, because I have two, and the Chiefs against Green Bay. And I have a lot of people on bye, so it's really going to be A.J. Dillon, and God forgive me if I have to end up playing Drake London against the Jets.
I was going to say, is there any circumstance you guys can think of where you would play Drake London this week up against Sauce?
I mean, I can't think of it, no. And that would be, yeah, I can't think of it, no.
No,
that's why I'm going to play whoever ends up. They're resting Dillon because of the groin. Right now, MCL, Aaron Jones, he hasn't practiced. So more than likely, this is going to be Dillon who goes in instead against Kansas City, which I don't exactly love. I hope he falls in the end zone. So it's a terrible bye week, and I don't like it. And yeah.
The only way you can hope is,
yeah.
Maybe you start London. And this is why I traded both these receivers. You start London over Pickens.
I don't know.
I don't like the matchup for London, but the quote unquote revamped offense after the Matt Canada firing in Pittsburgh was going to focus, quote, a lot of Warren and a lot of Pickens. Pickens had five targets last week.
I think that changes this week because Arizona's hot garbage. So
and also Deontay Johnson has an attitude problem right now. And also George Pickens, you only need five targets. So
yeah. All you gotta do is take one. I like Pickens this week. Yeah. I really do. So
all right, dice say a three, which is the home team, and the Fly Eagles fly.
Okay.
Blake, what do you think? I got to hope that the Fly Eagles fly wins this. I need the Wieners to lose this game. Tyler, what do you say?
So here's the thing.
Yeah,
we know Washington's secondary is probably the worst in the league.
And you got Tyreek Hill going up against that.
And so what you have to hope is Waddle goes for over 100, because you know Tyreek is getting 100. Like, that's a
correct
lot.
Yes.
And so you just have to hope that Waddle keeps you close. And what our what our projections don't ever pick up on is that 100-yard bonus and the big play bonus. Correct. And I think both are majorly in play for Tyreek Hill this week. And like, this could be a stupid game out of, like, stupid game out of Tyreek Hill this week.
Like a 60-point.
Yeah. Yeah.
What slides it for me, even though you have the big, is I don't know if Chris Olave plays, and I doubt Noah Brown does.
So let's see. Okay. Tyreek has basically been averaging 30 points a week. Let me go see what his projection is. His projection right now is 25.7. In the last, let's see, in the last month, he's been 40, or since week 5, 43, 35, 25, 32, 13, 35, 30. So he's only been at that 25 mark below 25 points once. And that's what he's projected this week against the worst secondary in football.
Right. So he's probably getting 35.
At least, if not upwards of 40. More. I'm going to go against the grain here, and I'm going to go Corn Wieners get the win that they so desperately need to keep their playoff hopes alive.
Here's the thing. I think Prescott has a great game. They're at home. He's going to have another 300-yard.
Not possible. What? Thursday night.
He played Thursday last week.
During the day.
He did not. Anyway, Prescott will have a good game. McCaffrey will do his thing. Zach Charbonnet is not going to do shit against Dallas. I don't care. And I don't like any Green Bay person against Kansas City. And then you got to... I have too many issues. Now the flex problem the Wieners have is palatable. If one of them plays, I lose. So I'm going to lean toward the Corn Wieners because I don't have a lot of upside people, except maybe Waddle if Tyreek Hill, whatever, and maybe Johnson. So I'm going to go with the Wieners in a really, really close one. I could still win, but I just think the chaos is going to happen and that he's going to win.
Yeah, I think you, Rob, cannot leave the noon slate without a lead. If you leave the noon Correct. Slate without a lead, it's probably over.
Yeah, I just have too many of my normal starters on bye, and it hurts. So what are you going to do?
All right, let's get into our next matchup.
Blake, we need you to make a pick.
Didn't I already?
No.
Yeah, he picked me, I thought.
Oh. Yeah, me and the dice both picked. I feel like Tyler's playing this because.
Oh, you even had to slow it down.
I do enjoy the slow down. I love the two-hole. Everything else before that could be cut.
Yeah,
but let's get into a matchup that doesn't have any playoff implications, but is an interesting matchup. And nonetheless, the Fantasy Reapers at 8-4 versus the Hawaiian Shockers at 11-1. Currently, Reapers favored by 6.5 points.
Ooh.
Tyler, why don't you go through your matchup here?
All right, so I have the disappointment of all disappointments at quarterback. I know everyone was roasting Sam when he traded for him or traded away Patrick Mahomes, and that has been nothing but a great move to this point. So thank you all for that. Tony Pollard has really been coming on lately in the last two games, both with touchdowns.
On what?
The backs of defenses.
Okay.
17 points and 21 points last 2 weeks. Joe Mixon, Joe Mixon, when the quarterback's out, they say, here you go. Here's the ball 20 times. You're now Josh Jacobs, you know? And so that's good.
Did you hear what they said about his backup this week?
I sure haven't.
Oh, did they want to get him more looks starting this weekend?
Good. And also 7 points last week, but whatever. Calvin Ridley has been another guy that's kind of turned it on lately. It looks like they're now using him differently. So I think that this is a tangible change and not just a, you know, ho-hum, you're putting up points now. And also, Calvin Ridley has more, let's see if I get this right, has more defensive pass interference penalties against and the most defensive pass interference yardage than any receiver in the past 2 years combined.
Neat.
Like, if you take any one receiver and say, here's the amount of defensive pass interference yardage against them, Ridley has more this year. So that's what he's been, but now he seems to be turning it on. Pittman, love him against Tennessee. Kelsey, always got to love him. I really just desperately need Taylor Swift to be back in the States. I can't keep winning when she's in fucking Argentina or whatever. Devonta Smith, he's been good since Goddard's been out. I wouldn't mind if Goddard took a little bit more time to get back. And then Jerome Ford has been good. Obviously on my bench, Hollywood Brown, you know, if I have to play him, then I could. Achan is probably going to find his way into my lineup if, you know, all of a sudden he's healthy, but I don't know where yet. And outside of that, unless I decide to double up on Colts and play Josh Downs, I think that's all.
So, all right. Tyler, I hate giving you advice on your lineup.
Yeah, don't do it then.
But I think there's no way you start Achan this week. There's no gaps in your lineup unless you really hate Joe Mixon at Jacksonville.
I would hate Joe Mixon at Jacksonville. Jacksonville's really good against the run. And
the last time you start Devon Achan, he played for half the first quarter and was out the rest of the game with the re-aggravated knee injury. I think he stays on your bench all game. But Rob, let's go through the Shockers quick. They're 11-1. I believe that's 2 years in a row they've only had one regular season loss, and they're trying to recap that one.
Sure, sounds like a plan.
They've got Tua at Washington, Ramondre Stevenson and Jahmyr Gibbs at the running back spots. Receivers are CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks, two Dallas receivers at home against Seattle. I actually controversially love this play. Both these receivers could have a big ass day. They have in the last couple weeks. Tandem breakouts. Dalton Schultz, who's carrying a questionable tag, but again, I think it's a veteran rest day. He's home against Denver. Flexes are Tyler Lockett at Dallas. Three players in the Dallas Seahawks game.
Yeah.
DeAndre Swift carrying that Q tag home against San Francisco, and then also the Eagles defense home against San Francisco.
Actually, now that I see this, the good part is I can make decisions after Thursday. I can wait and see where I'm at and go through.
Sure. Yeah, but you can make your upside decisions after the Cowboys game on tomorrow.
Yep. I'm terrified of Dalton Schultz against Denver. That defense is atrocious against tight ends.
They're like one of the worst. Yes.
So Rob, go through the starting lineup, and then I'll take us through the bench here.
I mean, the starting lineup is great. I mean, I'll highlight a couple, and Tyler already said one. Dalton Schultz against Denver is an awesome play. Tua against Washington. We already know that Washington is hot garbage, so that's a great play. Stevenson against the Chargers. By the way, Zeke was a thigh injury or something, mispractice. And it wasn't just a veteran thing because it was a new injury. If for some reason, I don't think he will, but if for some reason Zeke is limited or doesn't play, oh my God, Stevenson becomes a smasharooski against the Chargers. I like Gibbs. We obviously love Lamb, and Cooks could do a thing too. Tyler Lockett is probably the only guy that can get, I mean, I suppose Metcalf could do something against Dallas too, because he's so physical, but he just hasn't. I don't really like Swift against San Francisco.
As far as betting goes, your Blake's field pick of the week is fire up all Lockett over receiving yards. I don't have the stats behind me, but I feel like in the last 5 years, every time the Seattle's played Dallas, Lockett has had a great game.
I mean, it's possible.
God damn it. Hang on.
Yeah, right. Tyler's on it. Blake's pick, and I feel like I might be wrong, but no, it just feels right. Looking at this bench, it's atrocious.
Yeah, they can't do anything. They're playing. The reason they're playing Cooks and Lamb is because of bye weeks.
Stephon Diggs, DJ Moore, both on bye.
Two great top 10 receivers that you can't play, yeah.
And that was the last offense that I couldn't think of that was on bye is Chicago's.
There you go. So it's not a real offense.
It's the Giants, the Bills, the Ravens, Chicago, and then the Buffaloes. Other two that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, Buffaloes and the others.
So,
Rob, going first?
Here we go.
Yeah.
Tyler Lockett versus Dallas. The last two games have been good. Okay, yeah, so here's where it was. Tyler Lockett, in last time they played him, 2020, 9 for 103. 103 nice. Touchdowns. Game before that, 4 for 77 and 1.
103 and then, touchdowns? Wow, that's a lot of touchdowns.
Then the game before that, 1 for 7. Game before that, 3 for 36. So,
all right.
Really, it's, hey, the last time they played, he went nutty.
All right.
Well, the last two times.
There you go.
Because he had 70, whatever, for 77 and a touchdown.
Yeah.
And that was within the last 5 years, right?
And they played Dallas in the playoffs in that 2018 season, which was where he went 4 for 77. And he went 4 for 120 in the playoffs.
Oh, all right. Nice.
Yeah. Okay. So in the last 5 years, Philly or Seahawks have played Dallas twice, and he's gone off both times. I am right. So
nice. All right. Who would pick it?
I'm going to take this matchup.
Me, I said it last week. I've said it for the last several weeks. Shock us until he proves me wrong.
The dice are with you. They rolled a 9. I am also with you. Tyler, what do you say?
I am riding with myself this week. Got to do it. Got to give the team confidence going forward. Got to provide an air of confidence. And just really, I'm begging Taylor Swift to come to this game. I just need her to.
She's going to Tahiti this week.
All right, our next matchup is the 5-7, here's Tubby, versus the 4-8 Kegerator. Currently, Tubby favored by 29 points.
Ooh.
You know, I was once favored by a large margin against the Kegerator.
Yeah, how'd that turn out? How'd that turn out?
Well, it turned out by fantasizations of Kegerator being buried under the ground by my own hand. Anyway, let's not dwell on that, but let's talk about the Tubbies matchup or their lineup. Tyler, they've got Brock Purdy at Philly. I mean, I've talked about Brock Purdy at nauseum. He's been nauseam? Fantastic.
Yeah.
Hang on. Did you just say at nauseum?
Yeah.
No, I said ad nauseum.
Don't worry about ad.
Oh, I thought you said at nauseum. And I was like, what?
No.
Either way, ad.
Running backs, we've got ETN and Alvin Kamara. Christian Kirk and Adam Thielen at receiver, David Njoku at tight end at the Rams, Jamar Chase and Curtis Samuel in the flex spot with the Niners defense at Philly. Tyler, take me through the starting lineup and let me glance at the bench here.
I'll tell you what, this certainly looks like a 5-7 team. There are quite a few holes here. Although, well, I was going to say Dorian Thompson-Robinson has been targeting David Njoku hard. However, Dorian Thompson-Robinson is in concussion protocol, and I think we're going to see Joe Flacco throwing the ball for the Cleveland's. And so I don't know what that does for that offense, if anything, but Njoku, if Dorian Thompson-Robinson isn't playing, you have to downgrade him because he was just peppering him with targets. Honestly, my favorite play here is Curtis Samuel against Miami. Went off last week against a team that really allowed receptions to slot receivers. Miami, another team that gives it up to slot receivers. I expect another good day for Samuel. Outside of that, I mean, you have the guys that you kind of know what they are. I don't think, you know, anybody's really going to go super, super nutty. You have your guys, and you go from there.
Yeah, so Tyler, I want to bring up, on the bench, on this roster, there's three quarterbacks. And I personally like all of them. You're starting Brock Purdy at Philly. Obviously, that secondary is exploitable. We've talked about it a bunch on this podcast. But on your bench, you've got also good matchups. Jordan Love, Kansas City's secondary isn't anything really great.
They've been actually very good.
They've been very good. Yeah. Their defense is probably going to be one of the best defenses in the playoffs this year.
Okay, well, it still leads into my point that the Detroit defense was also leading in to be very good, and they got exploited by Green Bay's offense last week. And then you've also got Baker Mayfield on this bench, who's off the injury report like he is every week, always is a big play threat with the Mike Evans. on the outside there. And Carolina's team potentially in turmoil with the firing of their head coach. I mean, is there a quarterback controversy in starting on this lineup, especially with the playoff implications? Or are you feeling safe?
I'll tell you right now, I'm looking at the team, and this makes it super easy. Brock Purdy, the second best matchup for quarterbacks against Philly. Jordan Love, the third worst matchup for quarterbacks against Kansas City. Baker Mayfield, the second worst quarterback matchup against Carolina.
Yeah.
There's your starter right there.
Yeah. I would just say Carolina, even though they might be in turmoil, even through his hot last six starts for Dak Prescott, his worst game statistically was at Carolina, where he only had like 23 points or something like that, which is fine, but
I think he's a better quarterback because there's such a run funnel.
Yeah, that's 100%.
I can verify that, but I'm almost certain that that's what it is.
They are. They're really, really bad against the run, which is, and they're actually very good at pass rushing and coverage. So yes, I would 100% play Brock Purdy because Philly has had problems in their secondary.
The Tampa Bay's, the Carolinas are the second biggest run funnel of the weekend, trailing only the Jets.
There you go.
Sorry, third, trailing only the Jets and the Clevelands.
Ah, the Clevelands.
Cool. I'm sure the question's out there, so I just wanted to bring it up.
No, the question might be
out there in your dumb brain.
No, it was a good bring up because he's got three quarterbacks, and it's like, would you consider them?
Well, he had three quarterbacks all last year, and it was a dumb decision.
I know, but last week, if he would have played Jordan Love, he would have got way more points than he did for Brock Purdy. So it was a valid question, but I don't. Love has a worse matchup, even though he's at home. With Kansas City coming to town, I'd stick with Brock Purdy on the road.
Sometimes, Tyler, I don't feel like you understand what the role of a host of a podcast, but let's move into
I question your intelligence.
Yeah, Rob, let's move into the Kegerator. They've got
Matt
Stafford home against Cleveland at quarterback. How many touchdowns did he throw last week? Was it four or three? Three or four. It was four.
Yeah.
David Montgomery and Zach Moss are the running backs, both on the road. Moss getting all of the carries because Taylor's out.
Yes.
Jerry Jeudy and Amari Cooper are the receivers for this team. George Kittle at Philly for the tight end. Kareem Hunt and Taysom Hill on the flex spots with the Falcons defense at the Jets.
I mean, Stafford's a gotta play because his other quarterback, Lamar Jackson's on a bye. I don't love the matchup at all against Cleveland, but Cleveland has a bunch of people injured, including two secondary members, so it might not be as daunting as before, and Kupp is 1 week healthier, so it's not terrible, but it's not any upside play. Montgomery will be fine. Zach Moss is a great play. I hate Jeudy all the time. Amari Cooper took the big blow last week. Don't know that I like him. Kittle will be fine. I don't know what Kareem Hunt's injury is, but he's a secondary player to
his injuries being not relevant.
Being not relevant?
Yeah.
Also true. Hill, he's a dice roll.
It's a groin injury.
Groin injury. Hill's a dice roll. So he could get you 20-some points or he could get you five. I don't know. And Falcons against the Jets was probably a good play because if with Boyle playing again, he's not an NFL quarterback and they're going to struggle offensively. So,
yeah. So I do want to bring that up because this team has basically all byes on their bench, but the Jets defense is playing at home against Cincinnati with Jake Browning.
Yeah.
And I was trying to find their stats of who the Bengals played last week, but I know they gave up a significant amount of sacks.
They played the Steelers, I believe.
And the Jags have been really good on defense this year as far as taking for fantasy. They give up yards, but they take the ball away. Yeah, I would be playing the Jags.
Yeah, the Jags are like 14 and the Jags are 14 in our league and the Falcons are 28.
Yeah. So let me ask you guys this. Yeah. I personally don't know how you start Matthew Stafford this week against what I just said was a huge run funnel, Cleveland defense. Kyron Williams, fine, but I don't know how you start Stafford. Yeah. Would you rather, off the waiver wire, start Derek Carr or Matthew Stafford?
Carr is playing against Detroit.
Detroit at home.
Carr also not have his.
Yeah, that's that would totally depend. If Olave doesn't play, then I don't want Carr. I don't want any part of him if Olave doesn't play. If somehow he gets in there and is cleared from the concussion protocol, then maybe you think about it. But
because otherwise, your number one targets for the Saints is Rashid Shaheed and Juwan Johnson.
Rashid Shaheed is also hurt.
Yeah, he's also hurt.
Oh yeah, so you have nothing. You have Kamara.
No.
Let me throw this one at you.
I think I stick with Stafford because there's some injuries on that Cleveland.
Let me throw this one at you.
Yeah.
Guardy Party versus Tennessee or at Tennessee.
I'd probably stick with Stafford because he's got.
I probably would. Weapons. Tennessee's been such a toss up defense for the pass coverage. I don't know.
Yeah. You got Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua who can make plays at any time, especially Cooper Kupp. He's a year better or a year or a week better.
All right, Tyler, who do you want to pick your waiver wire quarterback, and I'll dollar bet either of them that Stafford will be better.
Ooh, there you go.
Do you want to give me 5-1 that both are better?
That's not what I said.
No, he said your pick and that Stafford will do better than your pick.
So who did I just say, Carr or Guardy?
Yeah.
Give me Guardy.
All right. Way to go with the upside pick. All right, Tyler, pick your one in this matchup here.
I'm going Tubby.
Dice have Tubby. Rob? Ah, good podcasting. Rob's mic has turned off.
Solid.
Mouth your pick to me, Rob.
One finger
yeah, Rob, give me, Rob, can you not hear even?
Nah, he's gone forever.
Oh, that's good. Cool. Well, I really wanted him to go first because I don't know who to pick here. I really want to go Kegerator, but it's going to be Tubby.
I'm back, boys.
Where are you going, Rob?
After a malfunction with my headset, I'm going Tubby.
All right, our final matchup this week is between the Backdoor Hot Snakes and the Fighting Hedgehogs. I feel like I've been in a record-setting number of Commissioner's Cup able matchups this year. I had the cup 2 weeks ago. I lost it to the Kegerator. He held it for 1 week, and then he lost to the Hogs Thanksgiving. So now it's back to the Hogs, and I'm able to win it back once again, my cup. I'm 5-7. The Hogs 6-6. It's a interdivision matchup. Currently, the Snakes are favored by 38 points, but that's because the Hogs haven't set their lineup. So I'm gonna let you guys tackle that when you hit it. You
can their Thursday lineup setter.
But going through mine, I have to start Jared Goff this week at New Orleans because Josh Allen's on a bye. No, I know it's not a good matchup, Talia. I've got Austin Eckler at New England and Jalen Warren home against Arizona at my running backs. I really like Warren's matchup this week. He should be able to eat this week, especially after being stuffed against decent Cincinnati run defense last week. Debo and Amon-Ra both on the road are my receivers. I've got no problem with Debo. Philly's secondary is bad. Amon-Ra, along with Sam Laporta, are giving me the stack in the passing options with Jared Goff. Both receivers performed extremely well last week in Thanksgiving. In the flex, I'm starting DeAndre Hopkins home against Indianapolis and Mike Evans home against Carolina. I like both these matchups. Like I said, even though Carolina doesn't give up a lot to the pass, Mike Evans literally needs three targets or three catches a game, and he can get, 40 yards and a touchdown or two, and I love it. There was a second. Cowboys defense, sticking with them, like Rob said earlier this year, you stick with
them,
giving you points, and Cowboys can certainly score upon the Seattle offense. as far as my bench goes, there's two options here, I think. It's Jaden Reed if he's healthy. But even then, that KC defense, like we just stated, is pretty good. Najee Harris, if I want to panic tilt between him and Warren. And there's a third option, Breece Hall. I don't know what's going on with Breece Hall. He had a titch there where he was good midseason, not on the ground, but he was getting it through the air with Zach Wilson. I don't think the Tim Boyle Jets offense is any more better or efficient than the Zach Wilson offense. I think that line is just so depleted and so bad that that offense is just bad. And you need to make a change out there that's not just the quarterback. It might be a coach thing. It might be, I don't know what's going on out there, but I can't trust Breece Hall right now.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I think I'm best starting my best lineup as I sit right here on Wednesday at 7:41 p.m.
So to give you context on the Commissioner's Cup, Blake, you came into the year with two more challenges than anybody else. You were at 9. The next closest was at 7. And you have extended that league. You have now challenged for the Commissioner's Cup 13 times. Closest is at 9 and for Nate, and 8 for Nick and Chris combined. Let's see, tied for the lowest. So two guys that are new, Sam and Somsky, both new, have only challenged for it 3 times. Monty has only challenged for it 3 times. However, that's because he was the incumbent entire last year. So he has the most wins overall, but has challenged for it the least.
So I've challenged for it 6 times this year.
4.
4.
You said I came in this year with 7? Or no, 9.
9. Next closest was at 7.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
There's you challenged for it 4, and then there are 3 guys that have challenged for it twice. 3 guys that have done it once, and you know, then whatever that math is, a handful that haven't challenged for it at all.
All right.
I held it for a few weeks this year, but yeah, guys, go ahead and go through the 6-6 Fighting Hedgehogs.
All right, so we got Justin Herbert playing at New England, Bijan, who got turned loose last week, so they say, as Tyler said. The run funnel Jets, right?
Yeah.
Pacheco against Green Bay. Garrett Wilson against Atlanta. DK against the Cowboys on Thursday. Not a Cole Kmet. Let's look at tight ends on this. None. So somebody on the waiver wire. Madison. Who can you put in there? Oh, anybody like Algier or Dotson or Chuba Hubbard? Whatever, somebody. Tank Dell as the other flex, and then the Bills. No, not the Bills.
Tank Dell went for imaging. I think he has a quad. So that's an indication, I'm guessing, that there's at least a significant pull there. Half, sorry. So we'll see.
Yeah,
that's
optimistic.
One to watch. Though.
Yeah, they did. He had it on Sunday after the loss. His injury is supposed to be minor, but he didn't practice today. He'll need to be limited tomorrow and full Friday in order to play, more than likely. So that is something to keep an eye on. But this team needs to pick up a tight end and a defense to play.
Yeah, this is a team that should have been active on the waiver wire to get Freiermuth for sure.
Yeah, they should have put, I don't know what kind of money they have. I didn't look at it. But they should have put everything they had into Freiermuth, and they should have picked up, a defense you can just pick up and do whatever. That's fine.
Oh, that's why. Hedgehogs has $5 left.
Oh, well, so it did.
So I'm guessing that he probably was in on Freiermuth and now is going to get whatever is left.
Yeah, he might have made a $5 bet, and it didn't happen. So, obviously, knowing that you've got to pick up the scraps at tight end, maybe it's going to be somebody like, Cade Otton. I guess is out there, a Gerald Everett probably, or a Chigakonikwu. Michael, yeah, that's it. No, not Mayer. Never mind. That's about it. Your defense is what? Do you want to play the Bucks maybe at Carolina? That might be a thing that you could do. Regardless, I don't like any of those options. So,
yep,
not great for this team.
I think unfortunately Breedy the week that he desperately needs to win.
Yeah.
To knock somebody out of one of the potential playoff spots. It's a bad week for him. So I think I think we're going snakes across the board. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going snakes.
Dice roll 12, so that's snakes. And you better believe I'm taking myself.
Yeah.
So Blake, let's take a look see here. Just as some preseason bets, just because since I pulled up the old Commish Cup spreadsheet, that's where I keep our preseason bets.
Yeah.
First one here, Cole Kmet will average 50 yards per game or more.
Who had that bet?
Well, that would have been Blake made that bet against me.
Okay. Okay.
And currently he is at, let's see, 482 through 12 games. What's that math come out to? 42 divided by 12. Currently he's at 40 yards per game. So Blake, you're going to need him to step that up. And then we need to go pull up the Baltimore team stats.
Hold it. Have they had a bye yet?
They have not. Their bye is this week.
Okay. So then, yeah, 40.
Yep. Yeah, so let's see. And then when we go into the Baltimore's, Blake bet me that Zay Flowers would be the receiving leader for Baltimore.
Ooh.
That one may be looking
good. That may
good.
Come to fruition with
Andrews is out for the year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Zay Flowers at 613, Andrews at 544. So, I think that may
Blake's
have saved
gonna win that one.
Where, yeah, so we may end up splitting those and no money will exchange hands.
Nice job, Blake.
Were those both just dollar bets?
Those were $5 bets.
Oh,
ooh, wow.
Yeah, extra Skrilla.
Well, boy, now I really wish Cole Kmet can get it together. I also have a personal bet. Granted, this is before Fields. This is in the preseason.
Yeah.
Bears to win 7.5 games. So 8 games this year.
Yeah, that's not happening.
It's Minnesota. That's a step in the positive direction. I just need 3 more wins.
But they only have 4.
You need 4.
I need four more wins. I forgot how many they had. I forgot that they were.
They were 3-7. They're now 4-7.
Let's see. Yeah. You need 4 more wins, and let's go ahead and pull this on up.
Oh yeah.
Bye week. Schedule? They have 5 games left.
Yeah.
They have Detroit, Cleveland, Arizona, Atlanta,
maybe
Green Bay.
They might have 2. More.
Well, as long as Cole Kmet averages 60 yards a game or more.
Right. Well, let's see. If he gets 60 yards a game times 5, that's 300, right? What did he have? Four, what did you say? 480 something?
482. So let's see. So 17 times 50. He needs to get to 850.
Okay. But if he gets 60 a game for the next 5, right?
He needs to average 75 yards a game.
Yeah. Yes. I was going to say 60 times 5 is only 300. That's 782, which isn't enough. Yeah, he's going to have to average a lot of yards, Blake.
Well, you know, sometimes you gotta wish.
You gotta wish hard.
You gotta wish to win, man.
Yeah, wish to win.
All right, I think that's all we got for you guys tonight and this week. For those who are part of the Bag League and part of the Drunken Dynasty, I think the goal is to record a podcast next week or within the next.
You know, you're literally
week.
Only talking to Nate right now, right?
Yeah, you're only talking to Nate.
I don't know if they listen. Who knows? It's the same people.
I don't know if Nate listens. Hey, Nate, we might do a drunken podcast next week. FYI.
You gotta fucking broadcast the Bag Clan Fantasy Network of podcasts.
Well, the network. Got it.
You know what? We're trying to do it, but thank you guys for listening to the Bag Clan Fantasy Football podcast this week. We hope everybody has a great Sunday and nobody gets sad or upset, but that is going to happen anyway. But otherwise, let's have Huey Lewis play us out. Thank you for listening.